Hello. It's rather good chat. Welcome to episode 14, and this week we're discussing...
Crabs.
Rather good chat, rather good chat. Let's all have a rather good chat. Rather good chat, rather good chat.
Ding!
La la la, it's a rather good chat.
Hooray! I'm Joel.
I'm Dave.
Whee! Hello, how are you today, David?
Today I am baffled.
Baffled? Well, as in yes. You're covered in baffles?
Yes, yeah.
What are they baffling? Is this sound?
Sound baffles, yeah.
Right, yeah. Like a silencer. Are you ensconced in a tube filled with baffles, or are the baffles just sitting off the side of you?
They're sort of all around me, forming a sort of tent of baffles.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you can hear anything I say in that situation.
I can't hear anything you say. No, I'm just guessing. I'm responding as to what I imagine you're saying at any time.
Well, that's really quite impressive because you're doing very well so far.
I mean, that's true in all of my personal interactions. I don't really listen to anyone else. I just kind of wait for them to finish speaking and then respond based on what I think they probably said.
I think that's very impressive, Dave. I didn't realise you were doing that. It's good enough that I didn't realise you were doing it.
Actually, I am wearing trousers.
Very good. Yeah.
Mm.
Excellent. So, crabs.
Crabs, yes. Yes, nature's finest creature.
We have history with crabs.
We do have history with crabs, yeah.
So, rathergood.com, which is where everything began.
Everything began.
Is the lair of the crab of ineffable wisdom. And the crab of ineffable wisdom, a gigantic crab atop an Inca pyramid surrounded, or an Aztec pyramid surrounded by thousands of acolytes, is me. It has my face. And so I have been the crab of ineffable wisdom, or crab bloke, for many years. And a lot of people don't realise that I'm actually a gigantic crab.
Would you like to impart some ineffable wisdom to us?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, you want me to actually do it rather than just would I like to?
Yes.
Right, yes. Sorry, yeah.
I should have been clearer in that, shouldn't
I?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very wise, you see, so I take things very literally. Okay, are you ready for some wisdom?
Yes, please. Okay. Lay it on me.
All right. Live, laugh, love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty deep, huh?
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? That's great. I might get that printed on like a bit of wood and nail it to my kitchen wall.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah. That would be really good, wouldn't it? And every time I saw it, that wisdom would shoot through me and enlighten me anew every morning.
Yeah, or, you know, if you can't find any wood, you could get it printed on a big poster with like a picture of a lady in silhouette doing a yoga pose on a coastal scene.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Oh, just how inspiring would that be?
Yeah, it would be really inspiring. It would be inspirational.
Your life would be 100 times better if every morning you saw that image and those words.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Wow.
Yeah. So crabs, you know they call New York the city so great they named it twice.
The city of crabs, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So crabs have come around loads of times, haven't they? Like there's crabs, there's false crabs, there's a load of other crustaceans that have evolved crab-like shapes that aren't technically crabs but appear to be crabs.
It's called carcinization, isn't it?
It is called carcinization, yeah. And it is the process by which everything tends towards a crab.
Just and because crabs are an incredibly efficient and successful shape for an animal to be.
It is. And I think one of the main disappointing things about humans is that we are not crab-shaped. And I will specify the things that would be better if we were crab-shaped. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree it'd be better if we had 10 limbs.
Right, yeah.
I think we can all agree it would be better if we had a durable exoskeleton.
Definitely, yeah.
Including a wonderful shiny carapace. I mean, it doesn't have to be shiny. It can be matte. But the main thing is that it's very, very durable.
Yeah.
And I, for one, would really like to have massive pincers on the end of my front appendages, which I'm going to call arms.
Right.
Yeah. And all of those things would be really cool, right?
Yes, they would, wouldn't they? Would you not miss your opposable thumbs?
You've got opposable pincers, dude.
I suppose.
They do the same job.
Do they?
Yeah, the whole point of a thumb is it's like a meat pincer, right? Without that, you've got like flappy paddle hands.
Yeah, but like a pincer is very good for certain actions.
Pincing is the action that it's best for.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Yeah. But yes, like a human hand with five fingers and an opposable thumb is a lot more versatile.
Ah, okay. So I think maybe we should drill down into this then. So we can be crab form. We can be carcinized without being literally crabs, right? So if we had the durable carapace and the pincers, maybe it's more like your index finger and your thumb are like really powerful pincers, but the rest of your fingers are still flexible enough to
best
do the flesh stuff. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they'll still be prone to being ripped off by your foes, but that's as it ever was, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true of us now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we're on the way to carcinization, right? Because one of the main features of the crab is that its tail is tucked up under its body and basically disappears into its body.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because like you start off with a tubular shrimp lobster-shaped thing. And have you ever pulled ripped apart a crab?
No, I never have. No.
Oh, you've never done it. Okay. Well, if you ever have ripped apart a crab, it's kind of obvious that on the underside there's a triangle bit.
As a part of food preparation, not as some kind of psychotic seaside pastime.
But they're the same thing, right?
Right.
You want to rip it apart and then devour it. That's kind of how it works with crabs. But yeah, there's like a triangular bit on the bottom that you rip off. It's like an easy access panel to the inside of the crab. And that's, I guess, where their tail fused. But obviously our tails have kind of melded back into our bodies, haven't they? Which is step one on the carcinization route. Step one to being a crab. So we're on the way.
On the way. Right. Oh. We've just got to grow six more limbs, heavily adapt our hands into pincer hand hybrids. Yep. And
be covered with armour, with chitinous armour.
Yes, chitinous armour.
So for a long time, I thought chitin was chitin.
Me too. I always thought it was chitin. And I just think, like, especially when you're talking about insects, chitinous.
Yes,
it's
a great
much more
sounding
insect-y word.
Word
than chitinous.
Yeah. Chitinous is great, isn't it? It's like kind of snickering kind of sound. Sounds like mandibles. But I mean, that's another good thing about crabs is the mandibles, right?
Oh yeah, I do like a mandible.
Yeah.
Well, you're slightly more along the road to carcinization than the rest of us, aren't we? Because your eye is already on stalked.
That's true. Yeah. I just woke up one day and they'd popped up on stalks.
And they're capable of independently rotating, aren't they?
Yeah. That's a great advantage of being a crab, isn't it? The independently movable eyes on stalks.
Really is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did another thing about crabs later on as well, didn't we?
The crab. I'd only started the whole crab thing. Yeah.
Mm. So a bit later on, we did a cartoon, an animation,
a Christmas
Uncle
special,
Wesley's
no
Christmas.
Less.
It was. Yeah. It was. It's on the telly and everything.
It was on Sky Atlantic.
Yeah. Which had a crab.
It did.
And so was this the first time you had dismantled a crab?
I'm not sure it was, but it was certainly the most traumatic. Because for context, right, the character Crabsley is a gigantic crab who's like the key character or one of the key characters in the story. But we work with photographic assets, right? So in the same way as we needed to do photo shoots with kittens to get kitten assets, I needed to do a photo shoot with a crab, like a large crab. And I ended up getting a large edible live crab. Because they are the ones that look like you would expect a giant crab to look.
Big orange, chunky fella. Yeah.
Well, he's kind of browny, isn't he, really, before you cook him. Although we discussed orange and brown. Yeah, we did in colour, right? The orange is just dark orange. It's not actually a separate colour at all. Anyway, I wonder if that explains why brown shellfish go kind of orange. You cook them, just lightens them up. Mm. It's not actually a colour change at all, which is what it looks like. It's just a lightening up.
Yeah.
Presumably as pigment gets boiled away. That's really interesting, isn't it? Someone could probably answer that for us.
Some lobsters are kind of a greenish colour as well, aren't they?
They're kind of dark blue, blacky colour as well, aren't they? Have you ever seen a blue lobster? You know, there are blue... Sorry, I'm interrupting you. What were you saying?
No, I was going to say, but they go orange too.
They do, as do prawns. Have you seen blue lobsters?
No.
Well, you can't Google it, unfortunately, but maybe you can Google it when we're done.
You could paint me a picture, a word picture.
Yeah, it's dead easy. Imagine a lobster.
Yeah.
Imagine it's like a really bright, vibrant blue colour.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, it's amazing. They're very, very rare, but every now and again one gets caught. And there are pictures.
Oh, wait. Is this because they have like a genetic problem? The whatever pigment or not pigment, I don't know.
I think one of their pigments doesn't get made, so only the blue is present.
That's interesting.
And so they're a bright blue. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? They look amazing. What was I talking about? I was talking about crabs. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Crabs, yeah, basically. So I had to do a photo shoot with this crab, and I felt like we developed a bond. Because it was big, I had to be photographing him from floor level, you know.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, he was an edible crab from a fishmonger who was intended to be eaten. And I had no way of releasing him anywhere because I was a long way inland. So I had him for dinner. But it was a sad time because I had bonded with Crabsley. And in the end, I had to devour him and absorb his courage.
Yeah, eventually he bonded with you.
Yeah, he became part of me.
Quite physical way.
In a very physical and permanent way. He is now me. And I am more crabby than I was before. Yeah.
Is that how it works? If you eat a crab, you become slightly more crab-like?
Of course. Yeah, you contain some crabonium, right?
Does that work for all animals or just crabs?
No, I think it works for everything you consume, except I only really eat crabs. So, you know, I presume that's to do with the eyes popping out on stalks.
You take your family on holidays to the beach and just sit there all day,
beaches
tearing apart
beaches.
Crabs and feasting on their raw flesh.
Yeah, I mean, we have to spend quite a lot of the day trying to catch the crabs, pouncing on them and, you know, hollering the war cry and leaping, that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, obviously. But we respect their spirits, right? You know, we do a lot of communing with their spirits and thanking them. The crabs come willingly, even if they don't look like they're coming willingly. They're giving themselves so that we can become stronger.
Well, they're quite inscrutable crabs, aren't they?
As in, it's quite difficult to get a screw into them. It's because of the hard carapace.
The carapace, yeah.
Yeah, your naked mole rat, scrutable, extremely scrutable.
Very, yeah. Regrettably. Well, your soft-shell crab, also.
Soft-shell crab, scrutable. Yeah. Have we talked about that before? I know one of you sometimes kind of ponder on the tragedy of the soft-shell crab, don't you?
I do, yeah. It's the point at which the crab sheds its exoskeleton and grows a new one, and there's this brief period where its shell is very soft, and it is, at that moment, the most vulnerable and most delicious state of crabness, which is a cruel irony.
It is a cruel irony. If you've heard of soft-shell crabs, it's not because there's a kind of crab that's soft-shelled. It's that as they grow, obviously, the shell doesn't grow with them, so they have to shed the shell and a new one hardens. And it's that period, isn't it, that they're so delicious. So very delicious. It's the only time you can eat a crab whole. Have you ever done that?
I don't think... Yeah, I'm not sure I have, actually.
I have. Deep fried. Oh.
Ooh.
So good. I've eaten quite a few of them like that. They're great. So the best tourist attraction in Britain, by miles, is the Crab Museum in Margate.
The best one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Loads better than any other tourist attraction in this country.
Right.
If anybody is listening from overseas and is planning a trip to Britain, forget Buckingham Palace or Windsor or, you know, any castles. They're all just basically just, you know, houses that from the olden days. What you want is the Crab Museum in Margate. Mm. beautiful Margate. It's great.
So what happens? What happens in the Crab Museum?
Well, it's quite a small museum, but it's dedicated to crabs. And I was in Margate. I go to Margate reasonably regularly. I like it in Margate. Margate is a seaside town in Kent, which is where I live. So it's not far from me. And it, you know, it was somewhere I went as a kid to the kind of theme park there. And then it got quite run down. And now it's kind of coming back up in the world again.
The crabs took over.
Yeah, because of the crabs, entirely because of the crabs. And last time I was there, I had a look at what was nearby to go and see on a rainy day, because it was rainy, as it often is in Margate. And there was the Crab Museum, described as a baffling day out. Well, I love a baffling day out.
Is that what it says on the front?
Baffling day out. Well, I'm not sure it says that on the front of the museum. It said it in the kind of description I read of it online.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So I went to have a look, and it was amazing. It was just really, really good. You kind of go through an entrance hall, which has a load of, I mean, I'll have to go back because I didn't have time to look at them. Like, it's quite a long entrance hall, and it's got loads of graffiti on the walls, and it's all crab-based. Someone's obviously put a lot of effort into all this crab-based kind of drawings and cartoons and things on the wall.
Crab-based graffiti?
Yeah, you know, little cartoony crab drawings and things. And
Right.
And I didn't have time to eat them, because we read them, because we got there nearly at the end of the day. So I rushed through.
Freudian slip.
Can't think of crabs without thinking of devouring them. Yeah, and we got in, and it was just wonderful, because there is, like, crab information on offer, but it's also just kind of slightly slanted off on a strange angle from what you would expect.
So what I expect, right, is it to be maybe some like stuffed crabs, or like taxidermy crabs, not like a dressed crab.
Yeah, but I think you can get away with just drying a crab's shell, can't you? They're kind of self-taxidermy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. With maybe some facts about that type of crab.
Yeah.
And maybe some history of crabs. And maybe like Margate's crabbing industry historically. I don't know. That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those things are all there, but they're just delivered in quite an interesting way, you know, quite a particular way. It's quite a small museum, I should say. It's only really...
How small? Are we talking like to someone's front room?
It's like the bottom floor of a small house. It's that kind of size. Yeah,
right.
Like a big room and then a little room off to the side. So there's a big diorama in the middle. And I went over to have a look. And it was a load of people and like monstrous, you know, bigger than people-sized crabs, some of whom were in rudimentary costumes. I was like, this is amazing.
What? So were they dried out crab exoskeletons?
Yeah.
Like, were they actual real life-size
crabs? Yeah, they were actual
crabs?
real dead crabs, yeah.
With tiny model people.
And the scale was very much the scale that we did Crabsley the Gigantic Crab Monster in Wormsley's Christmas. Uh-huh. So I felt very much like I'd found my people at this point. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And what I realised on reading the thing was that the diorama was of the general workers' strike in, I'm going to say, the 1920s. I've kind of forgotten when it was now. Is that right? Is that when the general workers' strike was?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, so I'm going to say yes.
Okay, I'm going to say yeah. I'm not going to Google it. I'm going to say yes, it was the 1920s. But it's that kind of period when there was a lot of labour unrest in Britain. And so there were these strikers, factory workers and police, and there was the British... Oh, maybe it was the 30s, because... Anyway, the British Union of Fascists were there.
Right.
I know, it was the precursor to the British Union of Fascists. So maybe... Anyway, you know... The thing that became the British Union of Fascists, the fascisti, were there.
Right.
And they were kind of there with police on the same side to confront the striking workers. And there was like...
I'm struggling to imagine where the crabs come into this.
Well, one of the policemen, or the policeman, was a crab. Specifically, he was a moon crab.
A moon crab.
Yeah, and then the factory owner, cowering from the crowds, was another crab. You know, there were like a couple of crabs dotted. And on the description of the diorama, it explained about the general workers' strike and the British fascists and the struggle for labour rights, and mentioned that the policeman is a moon crab who obviously didn't live in the same place as the whichever crab it was who is the factory owner cowering from the striking workers. But for the sake of this diorama, we'll put them together. So he kind of acknowledged that these crabs wouldn't live together because they're from different geographical places.
Right.
But put them together. I thought it was lovely because the whole thing was, you know, actually telling you about the crabs, but also telling you about the general workers' strike and presenting you with this completely insane version of alternate British history where there were giant crabs mixed up with everything.
Were the giant crabs entirely on the side of the establishment?
Well, as I recall, I mean,
the factory owner and the policeman.
It's a few months ago now, so it's getting kind of hazy. But as I recall, I think one of the crabs was on the striker's side as well. You know, like there's a mix of good guy and bad guy crabs.
So it's imagined 1920/30s Britain, which is exactly the same as our own one. Only one person in 10 or so is a 20-foot crab.
Yeah, it's the same historical timeline. I think they're kind of skewed probably towards importance. Like, although the policeman was just a policeman, like, I think there's probably more. Oh, the leader of the fascists was a crab. He was wearing a fascist armband.
A leg band, you mean?
Sorry?
A leg fascist band. Leg band, yeah.
Yeah, well, don't get me started. Well, do get me started on crabs and legs. I'm going to divert into this.
Have we talked about this before?
I think we might have mentioned this.
It is a source of constant anger to Joel.
So, real anger, like fury.
So crabs, are decapods. They've got 10 limbs, and they are, apparently, all legs.
Like Daley Thompson's decathlon, the deck there implies 10.
10.
Limbs, but for some reason, they're calling them legs. I mean, decapods means 10 legs.
Yeah. Or 10 feet, I think, maybe.
As we all know, a pod is a leg, right?
Yes, that's true.
That's why your iPod is like an eye on a leg.
I think you need to take that one back to the Apple shop.
Really? It's just kind of...
I don't think that's normal.
Really? I've got this leg with an eye on top of it, just kind of convulsing in the middle of the living room, and I've never got a song out of it. The only kind of musical noise it makes is the rhythmic kind of scraping as it gradually pushes itself around the room with the twitches.
Yeah, I mean...
And the kind of noise of the eyeball rubbing against the floor.
I mean, I think that's what happens when you buy expensive electronics off of dodgy secondhand reseller sites.
Okay, kind of I got it from a guy around the back of the hospital.
Right. Oh yeah, the guy around the bins at the back of the hospital. He just has like carrier bags full of bits.
Yeah, that guy. You know.
Yeah, I know.
Meaty Steve.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I get all of my haunted, dismembered body parts.
All of your bits from, all of your esophaguses. And it's why you've got so many esophaguses now, isn't it?
Do have a lot, yeah.
Yeah. They kind of loop out and back round, just, you know, just an embarrassment of esophagi, really.
I've extended my own esophagus. I wasn't happy with the way it just kind of ended at my throat.
Right.
So I've kind of extended it out about 200 feet.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of feet. There are feet in there or just esophaguses?
It's about 200 feet in there, yeah.
In the esophaguses, or I don't see how it works. On the outside of the esophaguses?
No, they're grafted to the outside so it can move around. It's like a huge, horrific flesh centipede.
Two thoughts.
Yeah.
One, I'm really impressed that we're going in such specific detail and all of this is you guessing what I'm saying. And two... I can't picture it. I could do with you painting me a picture in words.
A mental picture. Okay, I'll try. I'll try. Assume this is what you're asking me. Because again, I have to, you know, confirm that I am. I'm not listening.
Yeah.
I refuse to listen.
Yes.
So imagine.
And rightly so, because there's not much point, really. It's all nonsense.
Imagine my mouth extending from the back of my throat. Imagine it hard. Like, really, really.
I'm imagining it as hard as I can. So hard, I might bring it into being in my own house.
Now, imagine me with my mouth open.
Yeah.
And instead of being able to see down my throat, instead, my throat extends outwards in a sort of fleshy tube.
Right, yeah.
All the way through my mouth.
Yeah.
And for about 200 feet down the road.
Hang on, right. We're back to the feet. What's...
200...
There are 200 feet on the fleshy tube.
200 thirds of a yard.
Great measurement skills. That's advanced level measurementing, that is.
Has that cleared it up?
It has, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then along the flesh tube,
yeah,
evenly spaced, are 100 pairs of human feet.
Ah, so 200 individual feet. And they're like matching pairs on the left and right of the meat tube.
Well, as much as I could, but, you know, you get the feet you can get, right? You know, it's not always going to be exactly 50 of each, is it?
Yeah, okay. You know? Yeah, I see.
And also, grafting them on takes a long time, and by about pair 15 or 20, I stop really paying attention.
Yeah, okay.
They're pretty good. Near my mouth, they're pretty good. But the further on you get, they're kind of as two left feet or, you know.
How did you reach it? Did you just bend the meat tube round to your arms?
Oh, yeah. Well, because the once you grafted the first pair of feet on, they can just sort of reverse back by your head.
Mm.
So you can reach the next ones. And then the whole lot just
handy.
Kind of shuffles
around.
Yeah,
that's great, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. And so you can now, are you ambulatory without having to use your legs anymore? Can you just lie on the ground on like on some caster wheels or something and let your throat pull you along?
Yeah, I just lie on a pile of cardboard boxes and filthy rags.
Yeah. Which is what you're normally lying on whenever I've seen you.
Yeah. While my enormous esophageal flesh centipede.
Esophageal flesh centipede would be a great name for a band.
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Mm.
I'm trying to think what their first album would be.
I know that do you know Gus is a name?
Gus?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's short for esophagus, isn't it?
I think that's right. I think you're correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not going to look it up, but definitely correct.
Yeah. So that'd be a good name for the singer of Flesh Throat Centipede. Flesh Throat Centipede? Throat Flesh.
Esophageal Flesh Centipede.
Yeah. Esophageal Flesh Centipede. Yeah. Okay.
Is Gus short for anything? Gustav?
Esophagus, I just told you.
Right. No, yes. Yeah. Sorry. I was, forgot that.
Yeah. Sorry, anyway, so that's all good. Well, thank you for letting me know. Good old meaty Steve. He's always he always comes up trumps, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he? Yeah.
I forgot what I was talking about before.
He's always there to lend a hand.
But he'll want it back with interest. The interest is fingers,
absolutely.
In this case. You're going to need to find some fingers from somewhere to give back to him. Which has got a lot easier since I got my snipping pincer thumb and forefinger combo.
Mm.
I can just hoik a couple of fingers off at will now from anyone who looks like they've maybe got more fingers than they need.
That's why I've learned to never shake your hand.
Yeah, never do that. That's never a good idea, especially considering my massive debts to Meaty Steve.
Yes.
There's a lot of interest on those debts, yeah. What was I talking about before we got onto this? I've got no idea.
Oh, gosh.
Crabs, probably. We should talk about crabs.
Yeah, we should talk about crabs.
Are you familiar with the king crab?
Is that the king of crabs?
Well, the king crab is one of the most prized crabs for its taste, although I don't think I've ever eaten one. I can't picture myself
eating
one.
Does it have a little adorable tiny crown?
Not that I know of. I think it can grow to like 6 foot across, which is probably why they call it the king crab.
That's quite
big. They're also really aggressive, apparently. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is that it's a false crab.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a different creature that looks so much like a crab, everyone thinks it's a crab.
It's actually a type of cat.
Yeah, I think so, that's carcinised.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is why it kind of climbs trees and pounces on people.
Yes. Yeah, it purrs.
It purrs as it kind of nibbles through your easily accessible fleshy skin.
Yeah. Mm. So where, like, these massive king crabs, where do they live? You're going to say the sea.
No, yeah. I was going to say in the palace, obviously.
Right.
The crab palace.
The undersea crab palace.
Yeah. That's where you get your king crab.
Mm.
I wonder if there's lots of king crabs, do you think they've all got their own individual kingdom or do you think they collectively rule? Do you think they're constantly at war? What's going on there?
I thought there was just one king crab.
Oh, but they keep catching him and eating him.
Ah, is that...
maybe every time they catch one, there's like a successor who becomes the king crab, and then
so an ordinary crab is elevated. It's like it's like when when a bee becomes a queen bee, right?
Yeah, or like when the king of England gets captured and eaten.
Mm, yes, and one of his children has to swell up and become the new.
Yeah, and if all of the children get captured and eaten, you know, like there's a line of succession that, you know, goes through every person in Britain, right?
Yeah,
like one of the things about the UK is we all know where we are in the line of succession.
Yeah, I'm 700,004, I think.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's quite high, yeah.
Yeah, you've got a good chance. I mean, no King of England ever really survives more than a day or so, do they, before something captures him and eats him.
Yeah, it's a life of constant danger and peril and fear.
A short life full of those things.
Short and brutal life, yeah.
But, you know, probably worth it to be king, right?
Yeah, you get a lovely hat.
You do. I wonder if you get to spawn a lot. Probably.
Probably.
Probably just spawning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wearing a hat and spawning until someone eats you.
I think it's probably right, yeah. I mean, we've talked before
spawny
about...
Spawny gets. That's why you call them spawny gets, right?
Is it?
Sorry, I've talked before about what?
About spawning. King spawning.
King spawning. Have we talked about that before?
Yeah, here we have.
That's surprising, what? Yeah, totally.
That's where all the squids come from. They're ejected from the king.
Right, there you go. Wow, you've got a good memory.
Yeah.
Interesting how we come back to King's Spawn. It's quite a specific thing to have revisited so soon, isn't it?
Yeah, this is probably revealing quite a lot about your mental state.
Subconscious. Yeah.
I'm removing nothing myself good. From any analysis here. I'm
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. It's revealing nothing good. But then there's nothing good to reveal, so that's fine and not surprising.
Yeah. So I've got a favourite crab.
Okay. Is it Jeff, Crabby Jeff?
Yes, it is Crabby Jeff. He's great, isn't he?
Crabby Jeff and the Get Fresh,
the fresh
Crew. Crabby Jeff and
the Fresh Pincer.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. It's the coconut crab.
Yeah. Is that that can't be a real crab. I'd be amazed if that's a real crab.
Well, they don't live in, they don't swim. They don't live in the water.
No.
Which just seems like very, very, very poor behaviour for a crab. They climb trees.
They do.
They're
the
massive.
Coconut crab because their pincers are so powerful they can open a coconut, right?
With one snip.
Yeah.
Snip. And it's in half.
Snip. Yeah, yeah. Just like that.
But they're really big. Like a meter. Right.
Yeah.
And they live on the land and they climb trees and they eat coconuts. Like this thing, if it is a crab, it doesn't want to be a crab, right?
Yeah.
It's trying very hard to be something else, like a squirrel.
I'm not a death squirrel. Squirrels are much less doom laden than a coconut crab. It's like a heavy tank squirrel, right?
Imagine I once got... this is a complete sidetrack, but I once got shouted at by a squirrel.
Okay, what happened?
So I wasn't aware that squirrels made much in the way of noise. I assumed that any noise they made was like a sort of chittering, sort of chipmunky noise.
But actually, but they speak Oxford English with a patrician accent.
They do, yes, yeah.
Right.
And Latin. They're quite good at Latin.
The what version of Latin or the kind of
the
ecclesiastical Latin?
The classic Latin, yes. Yeah. Right. They're very old squirrels.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
But I was in a park, me and my partner. And
good place for a squirrel.
There was a squirrel in a tree and he took against us.
Oh my gosh.
And he hopped up onto a branch near us and just stared at us and shouted and shouted. And I didn't know this, but squirrels have like a angry alarm call, which sounds kind of like a crow.
Really?
They kind of go, ar, 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 at you.
You're scaring
like very
squirrels,
odd.
Dave.
I had no idea a squirrel could make that noise, but he didn't like us being there.
I had no idea.
He was really against us on that bench in that park.
I wonder if I've been hearing them making that call for years and not knowing it was them then.
Well, weirdly, I heard one do the same thing, not to me, but a few years later, I saw a cat chase a squirrel up a tree.
Mm.
And the squirrel got halfway up the tree and turned around and started doing the same thing back at the cat.
Interesting.
That squirrel decided, I'm going to stand my ground. You are not chasing me all the way up this tree. I'm better at climbing than you. Get out of it. Yeah, that's weird. I had no idea before those events that squirrels were capable of making loud noises.
Well, good for them, I suppose.
Anyway, back to crabs.
Well, as you say, there's a squirrel who's eating all my crocuses at the moment in my garden.
What,
and
right
I'm
now?
Not pleased with him. Yeah, I'm not pleased with him at all.
Stick anyway, to nuts, mate.
Yeah, stick to nuts. Don't eat my flowers, you naughty squirrel. So squirrels are not crabs. This is one of the things that you've ascertained.
But some crabs might be secretly squirrels.
They act in a squirrely way. But, I mean, I don't think the coconut crab wants to be a squirrel. I think it's far, far more hardcore violence than any squirrel.
I don't think they are violent. They're quite, like, they're quite cute, to be honest. If you can get past about their metre-wide crabs with pincers.
I'd like to see what happened if you tried to shake his hand.
Well, he'd snip it right off, wouldn't he? My hand
and
is,
eat it, probably.
My hand is significantly less solid than a coconut.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you'd lose your hand. I mean, just because they're not pouncing on people doesn't mean then they don't like look at you and think, You know what I mean?
Well, yes. But they're not very fast moving, I don't think.
No, but you've got to sleep at some point.
They do collect together sometimes in huge groups. You see,
right.
I've seen photos. I've never seen one in the wild. But I've seen pictures of like swarms of them.
Nice.
These giant things.
So there are also crabs that live on land that I think are real crabs.
Right.
The Christmas Island crab? It is Christmas Island, right?
Right, okay. That's
not,
a good place
not
to
Easter
have
Island.
Some odd... An odd animal.
There's an island which I think might be Christmas Island where there's a huge population of red land crabs that live in the forest.
Is there a different island for every Christian festival?
Yeah, the best day is Pancake Day Island.
There's a Shrove Tuesday Island, yeah.
Maundy Pancake Thursday Day Island, Island is Pancake Day every day.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Imagine being allowed to eat pancakes on days that aren't Pancake Day. Wouldn't that
imagine,
be amazing?
Imagine, and not being arrested.
And fed to the crabs.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, be amazing. Yeah. But yeah, so I think those kind of, that army of red land crabs, I think they're real crabs. They have to go to the sea to spawn. Have you ever seen the film of that, when they kind of charge across the island to the sea to kind of spurt their eggs and bits into the sea?
Is it one of those things where there's a million animals trying to eat them while they do it?
Yeah. It's quite funny watching them kind of shove their arms up in the air and do a little sexy dance as they kind of flop their stuff into the surf. Yeah.
Right.
It's good.
While they're being picked off by seagulls.
Anyway, yeah, crabs. Great, aren't they? So your favourite crab is the coconut crab, which may or may not be a crab, but I suspect it's not a real crab.
I have a secondary favourite one. It's not really a favourite one. It's actually probably my least favourite. It's the giant spider crab.
Oh, I wonder if that's a real crab. Do you think that's a real crab?
I don't know. I think it might be. I don't know. But they are truly enormous.
Yeah.
Like, they've got very, very long spindly legs, but they're like the size of a car. They're enormous things.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they?
They are absolutely nightmarish.
And delicious, too.
And delicious, yes.
Yeah.
Are they? I don't know if they are. They might be.
Yeah, I don't know. Are they related to the kind of Alaska king? I know, the Alaska king crabs, they're probably a king crab, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. No,
this
I'm sure they are delicious.
Crab.
Yeah, all crabs are delicious, aren't they? That's an interesting question. Is there a crab that isn't delicious? Someone might know. I suspect that all crabs are delicious.
The Pacific stink crab.
Stink crab, yeah.
Yeah. Is famously
is that like
a little bit whiffy.
A bit like the stinkray. Stinkray. Stinkray was a
Oh, I should take this moment to apologise. In a much, much earlier podcast I was editing the other day, we talked about the Gerry Anderson puppet show Stingray, which I erroneously called Thunderbirds throughout.
Did you?
Apologize.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it's Stingray. Yeah.
Definitely Stingray, yeah. Yeah,
Stinkray.
Stink
they were in a submarine that was powered entirely by them shoving their bums out the back and farting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Stinkray. And the captain's name was Ray, as in Raymond Bumfarter. And
this is the highbrow content people expect from this.
It is, yeah, yeah. This is the history of kids' TV, right? Which is what people want from us.
Yeah, mostly. I think mostly people want us to shut up.
Yeah, just go away. Just stop. Just stop.
For God's sake, please just stop.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think I ever said, did I? Like, I'm sure I've ranted about this before, but I think this might have been what I got sidetracked from ages ago when I realised about your enormous esophagus. But that crabs clearly have 8 legs and 2 arms.
Oh, yes.
Not 10 legs, right?
Yeah.
Like, definitely, those things with the pincers on, they're not legs, they're arms. And anyone who says they're legs is just evil. Worse than Hitler.
Yeah, like I tend to prefer to be a pedant on this kind of stuff, but I can't actually argue against that, right? Because the argument is they're adapted legs, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's true of all arms, isn't it?
Well, our arms are adapted legs, but you don't call us quadrupeds, you call us bipeds,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. They're clearly
manipulatory
limbs rather than ambulatory ones. And I think that's...
Good words.
That's what an arm is and what a leg is, isn't it? You can't just say...
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Crabs are octopods. And maybe they're descended from decapod crustaceans, but they are no longer decapods, they're octopods. And they've got 2 arms. And anyone who disagrees with me is wrong.
Maybe we just need to rename the word octopod into octolimb or decolimb.
Decolimb.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we refer to things by the number of legs they have, right? We're bipeds. You know, a donkey is a quadruped.
Wait, no, you've previously said. What happens to our friend the centaur in this?
Yeah, he's a quadruped. But without 2 arms, right?
But you previously asserted that he was an insect because he had 6 limbs.
Yeah, 6 legs. On this theory, I guess his arms are legs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're adapted.
Adapted. I don't know.
How does that work then? Insect is 6 legs, but you're saying insect is 6 limbs.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there's more to it because, like, actually, they don't have a durable carapace, do they? And insects have, like, the whole exoskeleton, like crabs. Crabs are posh insects, aren't they? That's a good point. All right, so tell me this, because I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Well, I mean, we've mentioned how scorpions are the lobsters of the land before, right?
Yes, yeah.
But just as a general observation, like, I know woodlice taste like shrimp because I watched that survival guy whose name I've forgotten again. Ray Smears. I've watched Ray Smears eating...
shoveling fistfuls of them into his gaping...
The unfortunately named woodlice, which I'm going to call Wood Friends now because it's a nicer name. Wood Friends into his face and saying they taste like shrimp. Like, do all insects taste in the same kind of ballpark as all crustaceans? Because they're clearly similar creatures, right?
I don't think I've ever eaten an insect.
No, that's why I ask, because I don't think I have. And hang on. So your wood friend
not on
isn't
purpose,
an insect.
Anyway.
No, your wood friend isn't an insect anyway, right? It's an isopod. For all I know, it might be more closely related to crabs and lobsters, lobs and crabsters.
Well, your giant isopod from the ocean depths is a little bit crab-like, right?
Hang on. So does an isopod have all my songs on it?
No, it's just got one song.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Oh no! Wait. No, it wouldn't be one. It'd just be. It has lots of songs, but they're all the same. That's what I said.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. But yeah, so if they taste prawny, that makes sense. I mean, prawns and crabs are a different flavour, but they're related clearly. Same with lobsters. It's all clearly related.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although it is, you know, I mean, I've heard that crickets are quite nutty, but I've never eaten one myself.
All right. I'd eat a cricket. I'll give it a go.
Yeah. Okay. Have you got any handy?
No.
You're normally crawling with insects.
It's kind of the wrong time of year for crickets, I think.
Right. Any other insects crawling over you at the moment?
Just the lice.
Right. Not wood friends. Like
the scabies
meat lice.
Meat lice.
Yeah.
Meat lice are the word. Actually, there's mites. We're covered in mites, aren't we?
We are covered in mites. We might be.
So we have like mites that live in the pores on our face.
Mm. That's right, yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
And I can't quite remember this, so I'm going to make it up. But I read a thing about how they we all have our own very specific colonies of
I think I've heard something along these lines, yeah.
And it's like something like they're transferred between like mothers and children.
Yeah,
that's
I
how you get your face mite
that.
Colony, is you inherit a bit from your mother.
Face mite colony is another good band name.
Face mite colony is good, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you still maintain a list of interesting band names that you've thought up?
Actually, I haven't updated it for a while, but there's some good stuff on there. Yeah, I do have the list. It's just not updated with whatever the esophageal one was and meat lice colony and stuff. I don't want to start mucking about on the computer and typing while we're talking. Cause
No.
That feels like a transgression, right? We're 100% invested in this very important analysis of crabs.
That's true. Yeah, we are. Yeah. So are there any more crabs we haven't discussed?
That's a very good question.
Hermit crabs.
No, we haven't, have we?
They're an interesting crab.
What's your thoughts on the hermit crab?
My understanding of a hermit crab is it does not have the rigid carapace that lots of crabs have.
Is the hermit crab a true crab or is it another crab-like creature?
I think the hermit crab is a type of bird.
Is it? Like a bad seagull?
Yeah.
Like sometimes seagulls hatch and they're just gone bad. And then they crawl off to find a
bottle cap. Well, it's when a seagull is swooping down over the sea to grab a fish and it misjudges and goes underwater and sinks to the bottom.
Oh.
It begins a metamorphosis into being a hermit crab.
I suppose the pressure from being under the sea squishes it down, right?
It carcinizes it almost instantly.
Carcinizes it, instant carcinization. The great tragedy of the seagull for a bird that lives in close contact with the sea is that the slightest touch of moisture and it immediately carcinizes.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it sinks to the bottom of the sea.
Yeah.
Grows a lot more limbs.
Yeah.
Its wings adapt into first legs and then those adapt into arms.
Okay, yeah. Not all of them, though. Oh, yeah, just the wings, right.
Yeah. Just the wings, yeah. And the other leg, the back legs on the bird's back legs.
Yes.
They turn in. Yeah. They bifurcate several times.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but the one thing it can't do, and all the feathers fall out, obviously, but the one thing it can't do is grow a rigid carapace.
Right.
So it is forced, this doomed, accursed creature is forced to scuttle around the seabed looking for a little shell or something it can...
Right, that makes perfect sense.
Wedge onto its bum.
Yeah. That reminds me, actually, of... we've been talking about the royal family, haven't we? Reminds me of that problem that Prince William has with constantly splitting his groomsmen. Are they groomsmen? What are the people who look after the kings and princes called?
They're his handlers.
No, they're not handlers, are they?
His wranglers.
Tigers.
His
no, wranglers. You're still thinking of tigers.
I'm
going to say footman, right?
Right.
When he sends...
They're men made entirely of feet.
When he sends them off to do shopping, he'll send them off for his missus as well to get her handbags and makeup and stuff. And because that's mainly what she eats. And they'll say, oh, is this for you, boss? And he'll say, no, buy for Kate. And they'll take it as an order and they'll saw themselves in half. Yeah.
I didn't even see that one coming.
Yeah.
I knew you were up to something there. I knew you were going to some place. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Out of nowhere. Yeah.
Wow, zing.
Yeah.
What are the crabs? What are the crabs that have one big claw and one little claw?
Oh, those ones.
Are they fiddler crabs? Is that something else?
I mean, could be. That's what that musical is about, Fiddler on the Roof, isn't it?
Fiddler crab on the roof, yeah.
People chucking fiddler crabs up onto the roof of their house.
That was my
I don't
favorite.
Know why. No one's ever known why they do it. They just do it.
Yeah, that was my favourite Batman villain was the fiddler crab.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they might be fiddler crabs. They wave their big claws at each other, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, like, I'm the big man. Hello. Get out of it. No, not like that at all. More like, look at
morning.
The size of my pizza.
Morning.
Look at the size of my pizza. Yeah, look at the size of my pizza. And then the one with the biggest pincer kind of scares off the one with the less big pincer. And they don't.
I really like
this.
I love lots of animals in the animal kingdom have this thing that they've evolved, like proxies for fighting. They don't
to avoid
want
having
to
fight to the death.
You don't want to get into a life or death fight 12 times a day. So they've just evolved ways to go, just to sort of this metaphorical, we're having a fight, but look, I've got a big pincer.
Yeah,
I win. Yeah. And it's just like, it's not even a threat. It's not even like, I would kill you with this pincer. My pincer's bigger than yours, so I would win a fight. Like, I doubt they're thinking it through that hard.
There's a point where your pincer gets too big, right?
Right. Is that?
Well, I don't know. There must be a bit where it's like as heavy as you are and you can't lift it up without toppling over.
Dragging it behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't you evolve like stronger pincer muscles? Muscles?
Maybe.
I don't even know how crabs work. Do crabs have muscles? They have some other system.
They must. I think they work on hydraulics, don't they?
Well, I mean, you say that, but spiders work on hydraulics, don't they?
They do. Have you seen the spider picker-upper, the hydraulic tweezers?
I have. I saw that on the internet.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's gruesome.
Yeah. It's
absolute,
nightmarish.
It's absolute deranged,
it's amazing.
Mad scientist stuff.
But
yeah.
Brilliant.
So
explain
what this is if people listening haven't heard.
Okay. So spiders work on hydraulics, right? So they pump fluid into their legs to make them contract and expand. And someone did the most incredibly simple thing. I'm just amazed that we're not all doing it all the time, really. Like, got a spider and shoved a little syringe in it so you can pump it in and out.
The spider is dead, by the way.
Yeah, the spider is dead at this point. And you push it in and the spider's legs close together like a little grabber and you kind of it back out and they open. So you can use him as a very precise picker-upper. Spider tweezers, hydraulic spider tweezers.
It's why spiders curl up when they die, because the fluid.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they were just hugging themselves for comfort as their souls
like,
left their bodies.
Oh, finally, finally the sweet release of death.
oh, right, yeah. You spend your lifetime being terrified of yourself because you're a spider. Like, oh,
I always
thank
think
God.
It, I always think it must be really boring to be a spider. Like especially the web building spiders,
right?
Like
you
have a really good morning, really productive morning building your web. It's intricate work. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You finish it. You sit in your web. Like right, well, this is me for the next 15 hours. Just gonna sit here. Okay. Wonder what's for tea. Probably flies.
You say that, Dave, but I've known you for a long time. And that sounds like your perfect day to me.
Spend an hour making some very elaborate artistic project. Spend the rest of the day sitting in complete thoughtless silence.
Yeah, sounds perfect, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I would have thought
lovely.
You'd make a great spider.
Maybe I chose the wrong
profession
animal to be. Yeah.
Should have trained as a spider instead.
Do you know what? At school, my careers advisor did strongly recommend spider to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you genuinely?
Did you go to a career advisor?
Or sorry, I
didn't
let
go
you
to one. No, at school we had like a dude came round and I can't remember if he.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I just wondered what he advised you to be, really. Because
it was nothing. It was rubbish. It was like accountant or something. I think.
Yeah, because we all saw a careers advisor at school, right?
But, they only had like six jobs they'd recommend to everyone, right? It was either you should work in a factory, you should be an accountant, work in a shop. It's always like the most like unimaginative things.
Yeah.
No one ever said, you'd make an excellent lion tamer.
No. I mean, it seemed to me like everybody got the same advice when I talked to them when we came out, and it was all about working in the body parts
Mines.
Disposal section of the local
right.
hospital.
Yeah.
You know? And he gave everybody his card and said, look, just call me if you want to work with body parts.
I don't think Fleshy Steve works for the hospital.
Really?
No, I don't think he's an official part of it. I think he just roots through the bins around the back.
Right. I mean, a lot of the people I went to school with have ended up in the body parts business.
As vendors or as body parts?
Yeah, both. Both, yeah, it's a real mix. most of the ones who aren't vendors are body parts, and that, you know, people keep changing sides.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's true. I mean, if
surprising how the number of vendors keeps shrinking and the number of body parts keeps growing,
and the vendors themselves keep shrinking. You know, when you're struggling to make ends meet, you're going to have to lop a bit off.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to pay the interest to Meaty Steve, Fleshy Steve.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He runs the whole thing, doesn't he? It's sort of like a pyramid scheme.
It's not Fleshy Steve. It's Meaty Steve and Fleshy
Meaty
Jeff.
Meaty Steve,
isn't it?
Fleshy Jeff. Yeah, that's right.
Fleshy
yeah.
Jeff's his arch rival.
I thought Fleshy Jeff was a crab. I've forgotten what we're talking
is
about.
Is he a Fleshy Jeff and the Get Flesh crew?
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a bad band.
It was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I think their gigs were largely a ruse to get people made of flesh into a small enclosed space, as I recall. Yeah. No one ever left any of their gigs, did they? At least not as functioning humans.
No. No, I mean, they left in some kind of state. The atoms they're comprised of left the gig.
Yeah, in the
no longer in any kind of recognisable human form.
Yeah, so I think we've done a pretty good job of discussing crabs. Is there anything we've missed? Do we want to kind of touch on any of the other crustaceans while we're here? How do you feel about crustaceans that aren't crabs?
Prawns are delicious. I'm a big fan of prawns.
Okay, so there's a couple of really good prawns and shrimps, right? There's the mantis shrimp. That's a great creature.
Right.
It's not a crab, but it's brilliant.
Is it a mantis?
No. They're the ones that are incredibly colourful and they've got a murderous whack. There are ones that have got a big club and there are ones with spears that will spear you. The club ones can be...
Ones like with little tiny hunting rifles.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you say that, but the impact from the big club ones is up there with about the same power as a 22 rifle round, if I remember correctly.
Blimey.
Like, they hit you incredibly hard. Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's the pistol shrimp as well, right?
You tell me that's pistol shrimp.
Yes. Pistil shrimp. It's made of part of a flower.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah. The pistol shrimp, right? This is the one that like does a weird little like clicky thing with its.
I'm thinking of that. I think I've got that and the mantis shrimp mixed up.
And it basically does a little tiny sonic boom. I think it's
oh
so
yeah,
quick.
I'm thinking,
and you get this like air bubble that's incredibly powerful.
Oh no, I'm not thinking of the same thing. And maybe I was right with the pistol shrimp, because it's not the air bubble on a mantis shrimp that hits you, it's a club.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah, pistol shrimps don't have clubs, I think, but they do like have this incredible attack.
Nice. I want to be absolutely clear here that due to our Googling ban, I could well be talking about a different kind of shrimp with the attack from the mantis shrimp. Because mantis shrimps are awesome anyway. Yeah,
and my memory of how pistol shrimps work is equally liable to be very, very wrong.
But mantis shrimps are amazing things. They look incredibly beautiful, and they can see millions of colours. Famously, who's the guy who did the kind of animal things on the internet? Z-Frank did a thing about
Z-Frank,
mantis
of course. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, mantis shrimps are great. Lobsters. I mean, you got to love a lobster, right? They're good. They're great. Big
they
fan
are
of
good,
a lobster.
Aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Not as good as crabs.
They're not quite as good. No.
No, but they're good things.
They haven't yet fused their tails, is the problem. They just fused their tails a bit.
Yeah.
They'd be much better.
Oh, hang on. So here's a lobster observation.
A lobstervation.
A lobstervation. Yeah. If you were... Sorry, this is not what I was going to lobserve at all, but I was just thinking, like, if you were a lobster... Lobstologist, you would observe them in your lobstervatory, right?
That's much better than being a lobstetrician.
Lobstetrician, yeah, gosh, blimey. You wouldn't want to get that mixed up, would you? Lobstetrician and obstetrician.
Yeah.
Get the wrong doctor at the wrong place. That could go horribly wrong. But, yeah, no, so here you go. So you're picturing a lobster right now in your mind's eye, right? And that lobster has big claws, yeah?
Mm.
Now, when I was in Australia, lobsters there didn't have claws. They were just giant shrimps.
What?
And I think actually the same when I was in Thailand. I think I had a lobster in Thailand that was just a giant shrimp. So what's going on there? How can they have lobsters with their best thing, their weaponry removed, like pacifist lobsters? What on earth is that all about?
Where did you see these lobsters? Are you talking about you saw them in the wild or you saw them in a restaurant?
No, I ate them. I saw them on a plate. I served them.
Right.
Ordered
them. Were you ripped off and they're just sold
the
claws?
They had had their claws ripped
they'd already,
off.
The chefs eat the claws, yeah, because they're the best bit.
I don't think so.
And then they tell the naive poms that come in.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, nah, these ones don't have claws, mate.
Yeah, so it's a double observation of, like, how can such a subpar lobster evolve? And also, is it even a lobster or is it just a big shrimp?
Yes, where's the line?
Where does big shrimp end and lobster begin? Because if it hasn't got claws, I mean, seriously, come on. Krill are great. They're like, you know, they're really awesome, right? I love krill.
Yeah.
They're krilliant.
They are krilliant. Yeah, they're great if you're a whale, especially.
They are great if you're a whale. I went through a period of doing, one of the first things I ever did, I think, on the internet was a series of Photoshop krill jokes, you know, view to a krill and krill.
Oh, very good.
And,
yeah,
all that stuff. It's quite easy to do a krill pun. There's a lot of them out there. Mm. Yeah, no, they're great. Love some krill. Any other crustaceans, or is that it for crustaceans?
I think that's all of them. I can't think of any more.
Is that all the crustaceans that are good, or just all the crustaceans?
All the crustaceans. Yeah, there aren't any more than that.
Right. Okay. Well, good. I think we've covered it then.
Oh, great.
Go us. Yeah. Another useful and informative deep dive.
Well, we actually managed to talk about the topic quite a bit this time.
Actually,
as well.
We did. It's because it's crabs. And
yeah.
We are obsessive about crabs. So we're massive crabophiles, massive crab enthusiasts. As in, we're enthusiasts of massive crabs.
Yes.
And we're massive
and also
physically
we're massive.
And crab enthusiasts. Yeah. So it works on both ways round.
Luckily.
Yeah. So I guess it just... Oh, no, we need to give them a thumbs up or thumbs down.
Oh,
I already know what your verdict is on crabs.
It's an absolute definite thumbs up.
It's a definite thumbs up from me. After the violent coup, after we've seized power, crabs will be mandatory.
Yes.
Yes. Great.
In all the possible ways you can interpret that law, crabs
all of
are
them.
Mandatory.
Yeah. Yes, in the widest possible sense. So add that one to the statute book for the new regime.
So is this what we're doing too? Essentially what we're doing now is we are rating thumbs up or thumbs down to the thing we're talking about, and also making a law about it for our new world order.
Yeah, either they're banned if it's thumbs down, or they're mandatory thumbs up. Or if it's a split vote, then I guess we can just play that by ear and make them optional or... I mean, I feel like most things should either be illegal or mandatory. It's hard to imagine anything existing in that hinterland. But I guess when we next have a split vote, we'll work it out when that happens, shall we?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. And then I suppose we should decide what we want to talk about next time.
Ooh, yeah, okay. What about, since we're talking about how delicious crabs are, what about cooking?
Cooking. Brilliant. Cooking it is. Excellent. Well, see you next time for cooking.
See you, Joel.
Bye.
Bye-bye.